I have a message this morning entitled The Gift That Keeps On Giving, and I had about 15 different titles. I finally settled on that one, and I guess I was so tired of wrestling for a title that I just locked into this one. And it's from the book of John, and the third chapter, John 3, verse 16, John 3, 16. Very familiar portion of Scripture, of course. Most of us can quote it from our various translations of the Holy Scriptures. But the one that I remembered it in says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And then the Bible goes on to say that God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world or to condemn the world but to save the world. And before it mentions that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, it makes a parallel between the days of Moses and the days of Christ. It says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and people looked upon that serpent," basically this is what the story is, when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, it was because there was unbelief in the camp, and there were people denying the Lord in the camp, and there were people indifferent to the ways of the Lord in the camp, and they had gotten to the place where they began to, in a sense, devise for themselves what was best for themselves. And as a result, they had been bitten by serpents. And so Moses took a serpent, a bronze serpent that he had formed, put it on a pole, lifted it up. And any person who would look upon that brass serpent would be saved from the bites of the serpents that were going throughout the camp. And the Lord said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And so, of course, he's speaking about the crucifixion. And then he said, "So whoever looks upon him, irrespective of where they might have fit in that camp, if they were doubtful, if they were denying him at some point or another, if they had said some words that might have been perceived as mockery, or if they were indifferent, as many people in the camp were, if they simply looked upon this one who was lifted up, then they would be saved." So the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Jesus himself, then, is the gift of God. God loved you and me enough that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, the thing about this gift, who is Christ, is this gift keeps on giving. Now, what I'm talking about specifically is that when he went to the cross, he went to the cross to save the world. That basically means he went to the cross to give every single human person an opportunity to believe on his name. Every single person an opportunity to accept or reject the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. Give everybody a chance so that nobody would have to die and no one would have any excuse if they chose to die. Every person would be given an equal opportunity to believe on his name. But when he was on the cross, and we have to remind ourselves of what the cross was like, the cross basically was defined by its excruciating torture. It was as horrible a death as one person could inflict upon another. And most people who died on the cross didn't die from whatever scourgings or whippings that they had before being hung. And they didn't die from the blood that would have come from their hands and feet. Sometimes people were nailed to the cross. Sometimes they were strapped to the cross. Sometimes both. Usually they died from suffocation, because the nature of the cross was to apply a certain amount of pressure to the diaphragm so that a person couldn't breathe and could barely speak a word. And so every breath was excruciating torture. Every time a person wanted to breathe, they would actually have to lift themselves up on the nails and pull themselves up by the nail just to get a good breath in. And then they would have to drop again and do what they could to hold on to that breath for a while. So that breath was extremely valuable. Oftentimes it would take a person days to die on the cross. It got to the point where they just couldn't do it anymore. They couldn't lift themselves up anymore. They couldn't take any more breaths in, or they couldn't hold on to their breath long enough, and they would eventually collapse and then die under the weight of their own body. Well, when Jesus was on the cross, he was dying for everyone. He was the gift of God. Yet he recognized that even while on the cross, he still had some giving to do. He could have simply said, I am dying for everyone. I'm giving for everyone. In essence, I'm doing God's will. I am given to the work of God. I am having an impact on the people around about me. This is, at this stage, it would be too much for me. It would cost me too much. It would be too much pain for me to give anymore. He could have simply died on the cross and it would have been enough. Yet for him, there was this sense that even though he was the gift of God, there was still an obligation to keep on giving. Not only was the cross physically excruciating, but if you remember, one of the things that he said from the cross was, my God, why have you forsaken me? So this was a person who was going through a very difficult time, not just physically, not just the pressure of, as it were, the world crushing him down, but he was also in a sort of spiritual limbo. When I say that, I mean, when people hung on the cross, the idea was that they were neither on the earth nor in the heavens. They were in a kind of limbo. And the idea was that they were not good enough to be on the earth, not good enough to be in the heavens, rejected by both. Jesus was like that. He was a man rejected, if you will, by the people that he was sent to, according to the Holy Scriptures. And then in his humanity, there was a point in time in which he was forsaken by his God. And so in that place of spiritual limbo, where it doesn't feel like he belonged anywhere, he was still asked to give. So this is a person who is being crushed under the weight of his own life, and at the same time being in a situation where he feels as though he doesn't belong either here or there, not getting an enormous amount of acceptance on earth or from the heavens. And sometimes we find ourselves in that same kind of a place. We know that God has given us to the society. We know that God has asked us to give ourselves for the community, to do what we can to make a difference in this world, to do what we can to help some people to have the opportunity to either accept or reject the Lord, to present the Lord in such a way that as many people as possible are given the prerogative to decide for or against the true and revealed Christ. So we are also in that position that we are a gift to our society, a gift that God gives to the world because he so loves the world. God has given you and has given me to the greater society because he still loves them. No matter where they're going, no matter what they're doing, he still loves them. And so he still sends us out to them. But sometimes we can feel crushed under the weight of our responsibility. See, the cross was Christ's responsibility. And then Christ told us that we ought also to take up our cross. Now, our cross is to bear witness to his cross. And our cross is to deal with whatever it takes to bear witness to his cross. That means sometimes we are going to be crushed under the weight of our responsibility. Sometimes it's going to feel like we are being poured out as a drink offering. And sometimes it's going to also feel like we are in the midst of being crushed under the weight of our responsibility. Sometimes we're going to feel like we are in a spiritual limbo, where we don't feel like we have the kind of connection that we think we should have with earth or with heaven, where it seems like the heavens are brass and it seems like no one is listening to us or relating to us on the earth. And we would feel that at that stage, and it's easy to say, well, that's a part of my responsibility and I feel comfortable with it, in as much as the Lord said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And the Lord said that, you know, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised all of the shame that was attached to it. He couldn't care less about the shame that was attached to it. We could easily say, fine, I understand my cross, I'm going to bear it, but at this stage of the game, under this kind of weight, when it takes so much just to get a breath and that much more to speak a word, at this stage of the game, I'm just going to deal with what I have to deal with and endure until I get to heaven. It's easy sometimes when we feel like we are being crushed in our situation to simply say, I'm not going to come down from the cross. I'm not going to let go, but I am not going to go any farther than I have to go. I'm going to give, but at a certain point, I have to stop giving. At a certain point, I can give maybe on a broad scale, the way Jesus was giving his life for all the world, but I don't really have to concern myself with this guy who's right on this other cross over here, mocking and cursing and speaking blasphemous things. I don't have to concern myself with that person. It's hard enough for me to get a breath for myself. Sometimes we're at that stage in life where it's all we can do just to get a breath. You see, you and I have got to see that person on that cross reaching up. You see, the cross, the nature of the cross was to deprive you of breath. It was to deprive you. And now Jesus says that we have to take up our cross every day. To deprive you of breath. And Jesus, not only would he take a breath in, but in those days, if you were being crucified, you would take that breath in and you would hold it as long as you can, because it was so excruciating to get the next one. The last thing you would want to do is speak in that setting. And the last kind of people you would want to speak to are those who mock and those who deny and those who are indifferent and things of that nature. But remember the situation with Moses. The people in the camp that were mockers, that were scoffers, that were people who denied, those were people who had on some level or another become indifferent. The scripture says that the pole was lifted up for them because they were the ones who were getting bit. So the scripture says, as the serpent was lifted in the days of Moses, so must the Son of Man be lifted, that whosoever believes on him or whosoever looks to him might be saved. So now we have a situation where God is saying to us, I realize that sometimes when you're trying to live in this society and you're trying to live right for Jesus, and you're trying to give him glory and honor and praise, I realize sometimes that you can feel like you're being crushed under the pressure of the philosophical system of our society. And I know that when you are going out to do God's will, sometimes you can feel like he himself in his grace toward others is sending you out as a sheep among wolves and sending you into a situation that if you fulfill your call in life, you are going to sometimes feel as though you're rejected in the earth, and sometimes you're going to feel like there is a closed heaven. It works that way sometimes. That's the nature of the cross. Now, here's the situation. Jesus could have done one of two things. He could have kept his mouth closed, just got what little breath he could get, and still say in the back of his mind, but I'm still dying for the world. Still say in the back of his mind, but I'm still living for God. Still say in the back of his mind, but I'm still doing the will of the Lord. I'm still saying, not my will, but thine be done. He's still saying in the back of his mind, I'm doing what I'm called to do. But he could have chosen to ignore that man that was on that side of the cross. He could have, and that man was a mocker, you understand? He could have chosen to ignore. He saw his mother and his best friend or one of his best friends at the foot of the cross. And he could have chosen not to speak any words to them. Because he could have said, well, there was a time when my mother was doubting me, almost to the point where she would have had me committed. The Bible says that she and her couple of her sons said that he was beside himself. Yep. Oh, he could have looked at John and said, well, John denied me. He ran off into the woods. One minute, his head is on my bosom. The next minute, he's running off into the woods. He could have said things like that. I don't really have to say anything else. I've done all that I could, and what I'm doing now is going to help somebody somewhere. But there was a cry in his heart that needed to give. See, he was the gift that keeps on giving. And then he calls us to the same mindset. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me. This is the nature of bearing the cross. So now we have got to ask ourselves, after we have given, after we have tried to live for the Lord, after we have tried to have some impact in our society, and after we could actually lay our head down at the end of the day, pull our feet up, as it were, as in the days of Jacob, pull our feet up onto our bed and know that we've done what we've could to the Lord or for the Lord, after we are able to say that kind of a thing, or at the end of any given 24-hour day, we could just lay our head on our bed and say, I've done the best that I can. My question is still the same. This is the kind of question I ask myself. If God has made me to be a gift to this society, and God has made you to be a gift to this society, are we gifts that keep on giving? What about that man that's on the other cross? That man who's mocking, that man who's scoffing, that man who's blaspheming the Lord, that man who lives across the hall, or that man who lives in the next cubicle, or works in the next cubicle, that man who is on some level or another a constant thorn in our side. What about that person who, because you remember in those days, those people that were called thieves were not necessarily irreligious people. In fact, some of them were overly religious, thinking that they could bring in the kingdom in their own strength and so on. So what about that person who we see sometimes who's, you know, got this super deluxe Bible. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, they carry, you know, their Bible in one of those hand trucks and stuff. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? And we wonder, you know, what do we do with that person who's saying to us, you know, that we're not this enough and we're not that enough. And if we were this, then why that and so on and so forth. It's one thing for me to shake that person's hand and, you know, kind of bless them in the Lord, you know, that kind of a thing. You know, it's one thing for me to do that. Another thing for me to bless them in such a way that it costs me. See, every breath that Jesus took in, he had to fight for. And every time he breathed, it was excruciating. And then he had to breathe in, and then he had to breathe out words like, today, you will be with me in paradise. It takes a lot to give after you have given everything. And it takes a lot to give to those who mock the gift that you've given. See, this man was not just mocking Christ. He was mocking Christ's cross. It's one thing for a person to mock me or to mock you. Another thing for them to mock our sufferings and to mock our pain. And then for us, from those sufferings and from that pain, to bless them in the name of the Lord. See, that's something supernatural. That's something only Christ can do. Only Christ can do in us. Only Christ can do through us. But we see his example, and when we see his example, we also see his promise. See, if we see his example, what we also see is him saying, if I live in you, and he does by the Holy Spirit, if I live in you, then just like what I did here, I will do in your life and in your situation. I will allow you to bless people who are not just mocking you, but who are mocking your pain, who are mocking your struggle, who strive against you when you are in your most difficult situation. When you feel like you are somewhere between heaven and earth and not good enough for one or for the other, and you just feel like you're in some sort of a spiritual limbo, and it seems like somebody comes and kicks you while you're down, and you are in the process of trying, to give to them and give for them, or just to give in general, God says, I'm going to give you what you need to bless that person too. And not just to kind of, you know, put a little bit of grace at the end of a 40-foot pole and tap him on the forehead. You know what I mean? But to go, you know what I mean? I mean, down deep where the diaphragm is. You know what I'm saying? And to bless somebody from the diaphragm. It ain't easy to bless nobody from the diaphragm. You know what I'm talking about? you get that a lot. You know, sometimes if you practice singing or something like that, you know, your first instinct is to sing from up here, to sing from your nose. And you get some people to tell you to sing from your diaphragm. I mean, like, sing from way down here somewhere. You know, and sometimes when we give God's blessing to people who hurt us. I mean, it's one thing, it's easy to bless people from your nose. You know what I'm talking about? It's God bless you, brother. You know, but you know what I'm talking about? You know? But when you bless someone from the diaphragm, it's a totally different set of circumstances. You know what I mean? It comes from way down there somewhere. You know, but that's what God does. That's how he does. That's how he blesses us. That's how he strengthens us. He shows us this example and says, I did it here, and I will do it in you, and I will do it through you. Same thing with him speaking to his mom. And maybe in this particular case, you know, she represents the kind of person who loves him, who respects him. But at that stage in her life, there was still some doubt. As I mentioned, you know, at a certain point, remember the Bible talks about her having lost him for a few days. And when she found him, she said, you know, your father and I were looking for you. How could you do this to your father and me? And Jesus had to correct her. He said, I was at my father's house. My father wasn't looking for me. Do you know what I'm saying? In other words, you know, so he had to remind her, Joseph is a nice guy, but he ain't my dad. You know what I'm saying? You know. And like I said, you know, a little while after that, you know, a few years after that, they were about to have him committed because his ministry was crushing him, and they just thought it wasn't healthy for him. So they were about to have him committed. She was the kind of person who you might say it's, you know, a family member or a friend who loves you and who's looking out for your best interest, but who, you know, at that stage in their growth or in their development, they still doubt that you are who God made you to be. Sometimes you have to live with people who love you. You know, they might be your husband, they might be your wife, they might be your mother, your father, they might be your son, your daughter, and they want to support you in every way, but they think that you're beside yourself when you start to talk about this Jesus. And it's hard, especially when you're going through a really difficult time, or when the ministry itself, or when the calling itself is requiring a lot of you, and you're doing everything you can to pour out to them. It's hard sometimes when you're going through your difficulty to come from the diaphragm and to bless them in the name of the Lord. And this is what Jesus did to Mary. He blessed her from the depths of his soul. And again, remind yourself of every word coming out of his mouth with this investment that requires excruciating pain. Sometimes it hurts to bless on the level that God wants us to bless. And sometimes we have got to simply say, God, give me the grace because I can't do it. Sometimes, you know, it might be as innocent as Mary's situation. Sometimes it can be a little bit more difficult, a little bit more harsh. Some people in this room are living with people who are not believers. And it's hard for you every day. And some days it's harder than other days. And some days you feel as though you're being, as it were, tested under the weight of your responsibility to God and to the community. And then when you get home, there's somebody there who doesn't believe in you. Somebody there who loves you and wants to help you, but they think the best way to help you is to pull you away from your calling. But Jesus gives grace. And sometimes you and I have got to kind of dig deep, not into ourselves, but into that wonderful reservoir and that wonderful well, which is the Holy Spirit. And just, I mean, immerse ourselves in Him and come out with this extraordinary blessing. With a blessing that comes out and that goes forward into situations that we could never, ever put forth a blessing. Now, John is there as well. And John's situation is, he, like we mentioned, one minute he's resting his head upon the bosom of the Christ. The next minute he's running along with the rest of the disciples into the woods when the going got rough. And now he's there at the cross, but it didn't come to the cross because he stretched out his hands and identified with Jesus. He didn't say, I know that man, I'm going in there to be with him. The Bible says that he was in there because he was a relative to one of the people in authority. So he wasn't there because of his identification with Christ. He was actually there because of his identification with Christ's persecutors. He was there, of course. And he was there because he loved the Lord, of course, but he wasn't ready to identify with him yet. He would be later, without question. But he was there. But Jesus still had to speak to him from the perspective of one who had been denied, one who had been run away from in the times of difficulty. So when he's looking at John, even though he's looking at John in love, I'm sure he's looking at John in very much the way that he looked at Peter. This is somebody who hurt me. This is somebody who left me when the going got rough. This is somebody who denied me. Now, Jesus was able, again, to bless him from here, bless him from the depths, bless him, forgive him from the very depths of who he was, so much so that he was able to trust John to take care of his mother. I mean, he blessed him and believed in him, even when John was still in a place where he wasn't sure what side of the fence he wanted to be on. Jesus was able to bless him with all of his heart and all of his soul. Because he is the gift that keeps on giving. He doesn't stop giving. I wonder if Jesus had died for the whole world and had not spoken to these people that were right next to him, that were right in front of him, that he could himself interact with on a personal level. I wonder if they themselves would have been saved. I wonder if that man that was on the cross right there would have been saved. I think if Jesus hadn't taken the time to speak to him, even though Jesus would have died to give the whole world an opportunity to be saved, that man would have been lost. I don't know if Mary would have been able to forgive herself. I don't know if John would have been able to forgive himself if Jesus hadn't taken the time to speak into their life. And then finally, I don't know if that man, that centurion who said, this is surely the Son of God, I don't know what would have happened to him. Because if Jesus hadn't done any of those other things, even though awesome things were happening in the heavenlies, that man would not have understood the implications of it. He would just saw another one of the many people that he crucified. So he spoke to mockers a certain way. He spoke to doubters a certain way, deniers a certain way. And persecutors. These are the people that he reached after he had reached, as it were, the end of his ministry. If he wanted to, he could have said, this is the end of my ministry. I don't need to go any farther. I don't need to say anymore. And sometimes we can do that. We can say, you know, this is the end of my ministry. Not so much to say that this is the last thing that I'm going to do before I go to be with the Lord, but we might say this is the extent of what I feel called to do. I don't feel like I need to do anymore. I don't feel like I need to say anymore. I don't feel like I need to reach anymore. But you and I can find ourselves saving the world and losing that one person that only we can touch. We can find ourselves making a difference all over the place, and that one person, because they hurt us, or because, you know, it's one thing for people to mock Christianity, as I said. You know, one thing is another thing for a person to be close enough to me to be able to mock my pain and to mock my struggle and to mock the cross that I bear. Those are the people that, in order for me to reach out to, I have to go beyond what I perceive to be my calling. And the only way that I can do that is the only way that I can do anything, and that is to trust the Lord. And to look at that example that he set for us on Calvary and say, God, you didn't just set that example for, so that I can look at you and say, worthy is the Lord. I thank God for that. And I know that that's one of the reasons why we read this Bible, to bless and to praise the Lord, but also to see what the Lord has expected of us and invested in us because of what Jesus did on Calvary. So I look at that and I say, well, that must mean that the Lord expects me to give from a place of pain and to give from a place where I feel like my ministry has extended itself to its farthest degree. To give on a personal level rather than to simply focus on the more general or generic. To give to that person who hurts me in places where no one else can. And when I am at my lowest ebb. See, only God can do that. Only God can help us to do that. Only God can give us the strength to do that. Only God can draw us into that. Now, there are people in this auditorium, you know what I'm talking about this morning. And you know what it is to be in a place where you have to give from places that you don't even know that you have. You feel like you're at the end of what you can do. And that's a good place to be at the end of what you can do, because you and I would be surprised. And this is what I was praying this morning. God surprise us. You and I would be surprised at what God can do when we are at the end of ourselves. And what God can do when we're at the end of our ministry. What God can do when we can't do anymore. What God can do when we can't give anymore. God can make us gifts that keep on giving. That give without giving up. That says, Lord, I want to help. And I want to help those people that only I can help. And oftentimes those people that only you can help are the only people that can really hurt you. See, there's just, in every life, there's just a handful of people that can actually hurt you. You know, anybody can hurt your feelings, but there's a handful of people that can actually hurt you. Usually they're the ones that are closest to you. And in some cases, they do hurt you. The question is, what do you do? What do I do? I'll tell you what I do in the natural. I say, I'm at the end of my ministry. There's nothing else I can do. But then God comes in. And he says, man, I'm telling you, you're just getting started. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. You might think you're at the end of your ministry, but your real ministry is just getting started. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we're in a wonderful place as Christian people. We're in a position to shine as Christians, to give and never give up. To give from the place where we are the most empty. God is calling us to trust him. To say, Lord, I can't do anymore. I can't give anymore. There might be some people in this room that feels like you're somewhere between heaven and earth. It's like, I don't feel like I have much connection in either place right now. I feel like I'm in a void somewhere. But God can do awesome things in that place. He can help you to help a lot of people from that place. I want to pray with you this morning. If God is speaking to you, both here on the main floor of the balcony, annex, and those in our various campuses, if God is speaking to you, I want to pray with you. Because there's somebody who might be dependent upon you to reach out from your place of pain. Somebody who might be saying, if you don't touch me, nobody else can. If you don't speak to me, nobody else will. You can be busy saving the world, but I'm standing right here beside you and I need your help. And you and I want to be able to make a difference. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord, my brothers and my sisters. Hallelujah. God has given us an example, but more than an example, He's given us something to hope for, to believe in, to say, if that's the way the Lord deals, then that's the way He deals. He's going to do that in me. He's going to do that through me. If God is speaking to you this morning, then I ask you to come to the front of this auditorium or to the screens in various campuses. God be with you so, so very much. God is speaking to you. Come on, together we will pray. Believe God to bring us beyond the point that we thought we were broken at, the point that we thought was our farthest place, and to say, God, only you can determine what is the end of my ministry. You take me as far as you want to take me. Hallelujah. God bless you as you come in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. What a glorious Jesus we served. What a blessed Savior. It's not easy giving when you have absolutely nothing, but it is the only way. You and I can't give until we have absolutely nothing. Until we can go to God and say, God, I don't have anything. Only you can give. Only you can give through me. Only you can help me. As long as I have anything left to give, I don't need to go to God. So it's easy in that sense to give from a place of nothingness, a place of brokenness. That's why the Bible says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's easy to give when you have nothing left. It's easy to give when you have nothing to give. It's the only way as Christians that we can give. I've seen that example, particularly in our pastor, a man who gives and gives and gives. It's given me much when I thought that he was spent because of the things that God has called him to. And he gives me and many others. So I've seen that example. I believe it. I believe what God is doing in this generation is pretty awesome because I see it every day. And He wants to do that through you, and He wants to do it through me, to give and give and give again from the place of brokenness where we have nothing to give. Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, we come to you and say we have nothing but you. We have nothing in ourselves. We can't give of ourselves, but we can give what you give us to give. We say along with Paul, that which I've received from the Lord, that I give to you. That the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. He blessed it and broke it and said, take, eat. Jesus, thank you for giving us yourself. Thank you for giving us your Spirit. Thank you for giving us access to the Father. Thank you for giving us a heart to give. Thank you for giving us to our society. Thank you for giving us to those who hurt and those who hate and those who lie. Thank you for giving us. Thank you for sending us as sheep among the wolves. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to make a difference in this world. Thank you. And now we ask you to give us the capacity to give when we think that we've given everything. Help us to help others. Help us to make a difference in this society. Help us, oh Jesus, we want to see your name lifted up and glorified. Oh Jesus, we love you in this place. We pray your blessing upon each one, oh God. God, we pray that we bless one another from the depths of your soul. We ask you to help us to help one another, and then as a community to help this society. Would you be glorified in this earth once again, O Jesus, so that the scripture might be fulfilled, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. We love you, O Jesus. We thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Praise God, Pastor William. What a marvelous message, as always. Lord Jesus Christ, help us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that when we come to the end of our own resources, we're only beginning to tap into the infinite resource of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that in our day, all the gimmickry of man has come to an end. The only thing that will now touch the society is the Christ who gave himself. Lord, we ask you through us, Lord, be an expression, Father, of your love, the depth of your love that sent you to a cross. We ask you to do that through us, God, in our city, in our towns, wherever we travel. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you wouldn't ask us to do these things if they weren't possible. You've provided the strength, and you give us the ability. Lord God Almighty, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you will use us to make a great, great difference in this generation. A great difference. And the glory will all go to you, Lord. It all belongs to you. None of it belongs to us. It all belongs to you. There won't be a man or woman left alive that can say, I did this in my strength. It'll be the strength of God. I ask you specifically, Lord, that we may all live to see such a glorious, glorious touch of God come into this city, that we can just clap our hands and dance in the streets. There's nothing else we can do but just give you glory for who you are and for what you've chosen to do. We know you don't do this because of our strength. We come to you in our weakness, and we appeal to you, the Christ who came to this earth and died on a cross. And we thank you, Lord, that our appeals don't fall on deaf ears or on a hand that is too short. We thank you that you're still God. You're still merciful. You're still all-powerful. You still are who you say you are. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for this, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for the strength that you breathed into us today. We thank you in your precious name. Hallelujah. Praise God.